The first freedom listed in our Bill of Rights, that is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, was religious freedom. America was largely founded for and upon the principle of religious liberty. But sometimes immoral laws can impede that religious liberty. It can be a zero-sum game. For example, same-sex marriage was imposed on America by the courts, including the Supreme Court in 2015 in the Obergefell decision. And some of the fallout of that decision has definitely curtailed religious freedom. Jenna Ellis is the senior advisor of public policy, America Family Association, and they have nearly 2 million constituents worldwide. Jenna Ellis is an outspoken critic of same-sex marriage, and she joins us now to discuss this issue. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Jenna, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an important topic.
Sure. And you are a constitutional attorney. I remember my first introduction to you was when you wrote a book about the moral applications of our Constitution and how, you know, basically it was Christian principles that our Constitution was based. And, you know, obviously same-sex marriage is somehow incompatible. Tell us why.
Yeah, so I can't believe that was a decade ago already, and the book is titled The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution, and it provides the framework of understanding how our U.S. Constitution is just the nuts and bolts to achieve the worldview position of the founders and that mandate from the Declaration of Independence. We recognize that our rights come from God, our Creator, and the sole purpose of government is to preserve and protect those rights for the individual and also for the spheres of government and the institutions that he has ordained, the church and the family. So civil government is obligated, regardless of whether we're talking about America or any other civil government. Civil government is obligated to preserve and protect the rights of the individual, the church, and the family. Our founders simply recognized that truth, and our U.S. Constitution was ratified with that understanding in mind to give specific limited powers to the federal government, also to the states in our system of federalism, and then also reserve some powers of government and self-government to we the people. And so how does same-sex marriage fit into this? Well, first of all, it's not a federal question. So the Supreme Court got it wrong just on that basis. Even if you disagree or want to debate the moral issue, the constitutional reality is that we don't have federal marriage licenses. Marriage licenses are given by the state if you achieve certain criteria. Obviously, you have to be of age, a few other things, but they're always given by the states. States, 31 states before Obergefell, had constitutional amendments to their state constitutions in place that said that only licenses could be between one man and one woman. The federal government has no power to override that in the name of equality or even religious freedom or any other banner. There are certain subject matter that the federal government simply cannot override the state's will on. So that's the first reason why it's unconstitutional. But the second reason is that marriage itself, by definition, is an institution that God ordained. It's inherently religious in nature. And so when the civil government tries to secularize that and redefine what it means to be married and then try to impose that will onto churches, onto families, onto business practices, like what we saw in my former home state of Colorado with the cake baker, with the 303 creative web designer, all of those things, that is actually unconstitutional because that is breaching not only the right to contract, but religious freedom. You cannot redefine marriage. If we want to talk about civil unions or maybe protections for, you know, two individuals who want to have tax breaks, that actually doesn't run afoul of the definition of marriage, and we can have those policy debates. But when we're talking about the definition of marriage, we have no more legitimate legislative authority to redefine that than we do the redefinition of gender, which is what the left is also suggesting, that men can become women. That's just empirically false. And so this is why the question itself can be debated from a moral and religious perspective. But when we're talking purely about the law and the Constitution, Obergefell was wrong in its inception and its rationale because the federal government simply doesn't have the authority to redefine marriage or tell the states whom they must grant marriage licenses to.
Well, early in November of this, you know, just last month, we're recording this in early December right now, there was a decision by the Supreme Court, or really a non-decision. The non-decision was to consider reviewing the Obergefell case, maybe, you know, deciding maybe it wasn't constitutional after all, but they decided not to listen to it. Now, that's obviously, you know, can be interpreted as, okay, well, then things will continue as it is. But it should be pointed out, doesn't the Supreme Court get thousands and thousands of requests? And just because they don't hear something at this present time doesn't mean it will never be revisited.
Absolutely. And I think it needs to be pointed out that that particular vehicle of the case that sought to overturn Obergefell was based in a First Amendment appeal. That's not the right vehicle to overturn Obergefell. It's not really a First Amendment or a religious freedom question when you're talking about someone who works for the government, as the plaintiff in that case, Kim Davis, who is a former clerk of court in Kentucky. She asserted her religious beliefs objecting to doing her job. And if you object to what the state requires of you in your capacity, that's not necessarily, at least in this instance, a matter of a First Amendment or religious freedom question. And so I think that the court did not take that case because it was not the proper assertion of why the court ultimately, in my opinion, will overturn Obergefell. They are likely waiting for it to be a federal question or the right vehicle constitutionally for them to hear that challenge and then on the correct and sufficient legal basis, then overturn Obergefell. So just because it's a no right now doesn't mean that it's a no as to the whole issue.
Anthony Kennedy was a Supreme Court justice who wrote the Obergefell decision. He has since retired and been replaced. But he said something to the effect that in the decision itself, now nobody should take this decision and in any way use it to discriminate against religious people who disagree with the idea of same-sex marriage. In other words, this should not be anti-religious freedom. But in effect, isn't that what it has become?
Of course. And that was kind of a pipe dream for him to write that. And then actually form the opinion that would give rise to so many different ways of discriminating against Christians in particular and the church and Shin businesses. And so when you have a clash of rights, then you have to parse which right prevails in certain instances. And the problem with same-sex marriage being determined as a right is that it is not actually that. And so this is another basis that, in my opinion, the Supreme Court should overturn Obergefell on anyway. We have had in this country a total transformation between natural rights, and they have been transformed into so-called civil rights. Now, civil rights are really whatever the government of a society chooses to say, well, these different classes of people have a certain right to these separate privileges. That's not the reality in the laws of nature and of nature's God, as our founders very aptly described in the Declaration of Independence. There is no natural right to a homosexual union. We see that just in the basis of sex. We see that in the basis of the mechanics of procreation. We see that with parenting. In the natural world, there is no instance that two men or two women can procreate. It is only in the natural union between a man and a woman can procreation happen, can the family happen. That is the definition of marriage and family. And so it's the natural law that our founders understood that we were preserving. That's what gives rise to the rights of the basis of the objection. You don't even have to reach the morality or the religious belief. It simply is a natural right. But what the left has done and secularists have done is try to divorce natural law from our civil law. And what they've inserted instead is this so-called civil right, where they can simply manufacture whatever definition of oppression that they prefer, and then they can label individuals, whether it's homosexual unions, it's trans individuals who want men who want to participate in women's sports, and they call all of this equality, and it has absolutely no basis in natural law or reality.
All right, what would you say to those who might say, okay, look, Thomas Jefferson was the author of the first, you know, draft of the Declaration of Independence. Later, they might not even add the word later, but later he became liberal in his thinking as far as religion, and so he, you know, wouldn't necessarily agree with all the aspects of natural law that you're bringing out. So what is your argument to that?
Well, anyone can disagree with reality, but reality doesn't change. I mean, we can object to the law of gravity and wish that humans could fly, but we know that as human beings, we don't have the legislative or adjudicatory capacity to change natural law. It doesn't matter what Thomas Jefferson's private beliefs are. It matters what natural law self-evidently shows. And that's exactly what the Declaration of Independence termed as self-evident truth. And that's what they termed as the laws of nature's God. It wasn't that they were manufacturing a civil government and a society out of their own preference. It was that they were recognizing that there is a higher authority and there is a rational reality to which human beings are presented. And we must recognize that and then discover that law and go from there. Morality is implicit in the laws of nature and of nature's God. And so we are confined to that reality. It's just a fact that the only union of two individuals, two human beings that can procreate is a male and a female, and only one. There can't be these throuples and, you know, five different people. Every child has one and only one mother and one and only one father. And it doesn't matter what Thomas Jefferson, Barack Obama, or anyone else believe, that doesn't change. That is the law of nature.
That's so true. And by the way, with the dissents during the Obergefell decision, I mean, for example, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. He's not the most conservative of all the justices, and yet I remember at the time of that decision, he came out and said, you may like the effect of this decision, but this decision is something I'm voting against because it has nothing to do with the U.S. Constitution, and that's what we're supposed to be doing is basing, you know, our decisions. Is this or is this not in accordance with the Constitution?
Yeah, and his dissent in the Obergefell opinion was absolutely brilliant, and we have no reason to think that he's departed from that rationale in the 10-year since, because what he was describing is exactly what our conversation opened up with this aspect of federalism that regardless of what you may personally believe about same-sex marriage or the definition of marriage or homosexual couples, the reality is marriage, domestic relations, is not a subject matter that is given to the federal government to legislate on or adjudicate on. And so it has been bootstrapped into a First Amendment or equality or some kind of civil rights context to try to federalize that issue so that the Supreme Court can adjudicate it, when really it is a state issue. And if states are going to give marriage licenses, and we can have that whole policy conversation of whether states should even intervene in, but if they do, domestic relations at minimum is the province of the states and the states only. And you have to only look at Article 1, Section 8, which defines the subject matters very limited that the federal Congress can legislate on. Domestic relations, marriage is not at all in the U.S. Constitution in Article 1, Section 8. That means that Congress, no matter their beliefs, they cannot legislate on it. There are a lot of different subject matter that is not for Congress to legislate on that they're overstepping. Education, so many other things that they have tried to overstep. But if you look at the text of the Constitution, the subject matter that is actually given to the federal government is very, very limited. We have to get back as a country to federalism and separating that power from the federal questions to the states, and then also still reserving the powers of self-governance, like parenting, for one thing, but so many other issues, to we the people for a self-governed society.
AFA.net for more information. Jenna Ellis. Thank you, Jenna. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.